We're going to be looking at the book of Philemon, so if you'll go ahead and open that back towards the end of your Bible, the New Testament. 5 years ago, Pastor Charles spent 3 weeks taking us through this book, verse by verse. So we're going to not be nearly as detailed as he was, because he did it in three different lessons over that time. But we're going to see here that the Apostle Paul, who is in prison himself, befriends a criminal and then works with that criminal's, this criminal is a slave named Onesimus, and so Paul's going to work with his owner, Philemon. So before we get into the lesson, let's bow our heads with a quick word of prayer. Lord, we ask for calmness and peace of my heart, and just that you would give me the words you would say this morning. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross. We realize there's going to be distractions in our life, and we just thank you so much that we're alive to live this life and serve you. We ask now that you would just open the hearts of those that are here to hear the lesson and take the words and apply them to their life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. They say that any good sermon should have 3 points and a poem. And that's what kind of they teach, they used to, I don't know if they still do, in seminaries and things like that. Well, today we're not going to have 3 points and a poem. We're going to talk about three men and then a story. So I'll tell you the story in a little while. Something recently triggered, and I went to the book of Philemon and started reading something, and it's one of those books that we all need to look through. It's only 25 verses, the entire book, and it has so many different lessons in it, and I'm going to try to convey some of those lessons to y'all today that I've gotten out of it. So we're going to read about those three primary people, and I think each one of them have traits that we should look for in our own lives. So as we go through, and then I'll kind of summarize at the end, as we go through, kind of look for traits of these people. I mean, such a diverse group, a criminal, an apostle in prison, and a man in Colossae that is the host of the church that meets in his home. The first three verses of Philemon are pretty much standard or typical of Paul's opening in all of his letters. So let's read those. Philemon, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. And again, the church in Colossae, where the book of Colossae, the letter to the Colossians was written, meets in Philemon's home. And Apphia is Philemon's wife, and Archippus is his son, who is also a minister of the gospel elsewhere in that area. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I say, that is very standard and expected from Paul as he opens his letters. But then we get into the rest of the book, and honestly, on those first three verses, just talking about the grace and peace of God, we could spend the entire hour just focused on that, but I think there's other lessons in here that we need to focus on. Continuing with verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith for which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because, and listen closely to this phrase, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. So Paul is telling Philemon that Philemon has refreshed the hearts of the believers in that area. I want you to remember that, because that phrase is going to be used again. Verse 8, therefore, though I may be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, rather I appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged and now a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who I have begotten while in chains, who once was unprofitable for you, but now is profitable to you and me. I am sending him back. You receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Perhaps he departed for a while, that you might receive him forever. And I want to stop right here. Charles pointed out in his series 5 years ago that how important it is for us to look at verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while, just a short while, that you might receive him forever. And that forever, Charles pointed out, is not just while they're here on earth, but now that Onesimus has become a Christian and Philemon is, they will spend eternity together, and that's what the forever is. But he asked Philemon to receive Onesimus back, verse 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you then count me a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put it on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention that you owe me from your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from the Lord. And here again, we see that phrase, refresh my heart in the Lord. And I think that's something that Philemon must have been a very joyful person and shared that joy with so many others, because two times in this short letter, Paul has mentioned how he refreshed the hearts of the Christians in the congregation that meet in his home, but yet Paul is saying now, refresh my heart in the Lord. So I think that's something that we need to focus on ourselves. Continuing with verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. And I want to stop here for just a minute. If you followed along here, Paul is very kind. I think he's a kind, caring, and considerate person. But as we're going to see, he's kind of putting a guilt trip on Philemon. He's saying, I'm sending Onesimus back, and I want you to receive him. And I could command you, but I'm not going to do that. I could command you to receive him. I want you to do it so it's a good deed in your own heart. And not only to receive him back as a slave, but to receive him back not as a slave, but as part of the family. So let's continue reading there. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. Now we've seen, again, those three, the odd trio, I guess we could say, an apostle who's in prison for preaching, a prisoner, runaway slave, and Philemon, the leader of the church in Colossae. I told you I was going to tell you a story, so here it goes. And I don't think I've ever shared this in any of my lessons, but back in the mid-70s, Esther and I loaded up the kids, and we headed for Walt Disney World in Florida. And probably halfway out there, we started noticing every time you'd hit the brakes, well, there was kind of a scraping noise. And I thought, okay, well, brakes have that little warning deal on there that rubs against the brake drum to let you know that you need to start paying attention and get your brakes fixed. Well, we kept driving, and it changed from a scraping noise to grinding metal against metal, and that's not good. When we got to Florida, we went to a mechanic shop, and they looked it over. Not only did I need new brake shoes, but I'd ruined the brake drums, and it was north of $1,000 for the repairs. Now remember, this is the mid-70s. That is a lot of money to a young, struggling family. So I didn't have $1,000. We're 1,000 miles from home, and what do I do? This was before the days of debit cards. We had a credit card, but I don't think we probably even had that, maybe a $300 limit at that time. So I'm in a real bind. So I picked up the phone and I called a friend, longtime banker and longtime mayor of Mineral Wells, Ellis White, and explained the situation to him. And he said, no problem. And over the phone, fixed up a loan. And I didn't have to sign anything until I got back. Ellis knew me. He knew I was good for it. So then I hung up the phone, told the guy. I said, okay, we've got the loan taken care of, and so we can go ahead and get it fixed. And he said, how are you going to pay? And I said, will you take a check? He said, we don't take... I said, will you take an out-of-town check? He said, nope, not out-of-town, not out-of-state. Again, no debit cards in those days. So pick up the phone and call Ellis back and explain the situation to him. Hung up. Ellis immediately calls the mechanic. And he said, much like Paul did here, he said, I'll be good for that. You can trust me, and you can also trust Robert. I wound up getting to write the out-of-town check, out-of-state check for the repairs on that car because somebody else vouched for me. And I think it's so important that I got that car fixed, not because of me, but because of somebody else that believed in me. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing here with Paul, but on a much greater note, he's writing to Philemon saying, please take Onesimus back. Paul nearly always starts out his letters to people with thanksgiving, and that's what he did here. And in verse 5, Paul is excited to hear the love and faith that the Colossian church has toward our Lord Jesus Christ and to all the saints. He tells Philemon, thank you. And again, that phrase about refreshing the hearts of others, that just has really, I've never picked up on that before, but in this lesson I realized that it's in there twice, and sometimes I have to read something a second time. It's like when you meet somebody, the first time you meet somebody, their name usually goes in one ear and out the other. Second time, it's there to stay. You kind of remember who they are. Now in verse 8, after all of the platitudes, the greetings and all, Paul gets down to the purpose of his letter. And it's, I think, a delicate purpose, but Paul handles it well. Verse 8, therefore, though I might be bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you. So he could command, but he's appealing instead. Being such one as Paul the aged and now a prisoner of Christ. In today's English, Paul basically is saying, if I could be so bold, I would like to ask you to forgive this young man. He reminds Philemon that he is an elder. Paul is older and aged. He's also a prisoner for Christ. And verse 10, he makes a direct appeal for my own son, or my son, Onesimus. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who I have begotten while in chains. Now, in those days, a runaway slave, they were a criminal, and they could be caught, arrested, put in jail for the rest of their life, or it was a capital offense. They could be killed for it. Onesimus had been saved. We don't know the story of when he was saved or how he was saved, whose influence. But now he, in Paul's eyes, because he is a Christian, he's on the same plane with Paul and Philemon and Onesimus, who used to be a slave, but now is on the same plane with these other two men. And I read that Onesimus was considered an urban slave, which means that he lived in the home with Philemon and his family. So you know he had to be intimately connected with those folks. Because Philemon was a leader in the church there at Colossae, and they met in his home, I feel certain that he was a kind and fair slave owner. Despite the fairness, kindness of Philemon, Onesimus decided he wanted to be free, and he ran away. That was a sin. That was against the law. He leaves, he becomes a fugitive, and he goes to Rome to get lost in the crowd. I also read that at that time, this was 60 to 62 A.D., at that time, Rome already had a population of over 1 million people. So you can see why he went there to get lost in the crowd. He wanted to start a new life. He wanted to forget his past. He wanted others to forget his past. He could hide in Rome from the other people, but he could not hide from God. God was seeking his soul, and somehow, we're not told how, Onesimus and Paul get in contact in a city of over 1 million people. It's possible that we know that Paul has probably met with that church in Colossae. We know that he and Philemon are friends. He knows that he probably had been in their home, so it may be possible that he had met Philemon somewhere down the road. We're not told. And it could be that once Onesimus got to Rome, that he actually sought out Paul. If he knew that he was in jail there, he could have sought him out. We don't know. And some of the commentaries say that Paul was in prison. Others say that he was under house arrest. So we don't know there. Also don't know whether Onesimus wound up getting caught. Maybe he was stealing something and got caught, or had committed some other infraction and he got put in jail. And that's where he and Paul got together. So many scenarios, we don't know the answer yet. Someday in heaven we can find out. And I don't think it really matters to us in this day and time how they got together, just that we know that it was God's hand that brought them together. And we all have heard Pastor Charles teach on Philemon and Onesimus. And if you remember, the name Onesimus translated means useful. So I don't think it's an accident that, I don't know how old Onesimus was, 25, 30, 35, that many years ago his parents named him useful, Onesimus. I think that God had a hand in that, knowing that down the road Onesimus was going to be used as an example. And if you look back at verses 11 and 13, Paul considers Onesimus useful or profitable. He says, who once was unprofitable for you, but now is profitable to you and me. And in verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. So Paul is saying, at one time he was not useful. He was unprofitable. But now he's profitable both to you and to me. And Paul said, I would love to keep him here to help me while I'm in chains, while I'm in prison. But morally, he could not do that. He knew that Onesimus belonged to Philemon. So he sent him back with the plea, not only to accept him as a brother, to release him as a slave, but also to allow him to come back and help Paul in his ministry. Verses 15 and 16, Paul summarizes and says, for perhaps he departed for a while this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Maybe he ran away so that we can all become closer and be together forever, since he has now become a Christian. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Onesimus is a runaway slave. He's a criminal on the run to keep from being put in prison. And Paul now considers him a beloved brother. He wants to keep him, but that's not his call to make. So he sends him back with this letter. And he urges Philemon to accept him back, both as a beloved brother, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So treat him as your own flesh and blood brother, but also as your scriptural brother as well. That is a powerful request from Paul to Philemon. Something that really stood out to me during this study, first of all, Philemon is certainly a Christian, but he became a Christian because of Paul's teachings. he was saved under the ministry of Paul. And Paul likely could have had pulled out of his hat this apostolic authority, which means basically that I'm the senior pastor and you're going to do what I say and you're going to treat Onesimus as I tell you to. But he didn't want to do that. He wanted that move to come from Philemon's heart. He wanted Philemon to be the one to do that and to benefit from the grace that comes with that. Verse 8, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you. He says, I could command you, but instead I ask you. Paul doesn't pull any punches whatsoever. Let's look, starting at verse 15. Perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, which was to become a Christian and serve Paul, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you. Then, if you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. And listen to this. Not to mention that you owe me even for your own self besides. I mean, that's the guilt trip I'm talking about. Paul saying all these kind things, but he also has to remind him, you owe me, so, you know, let's help each other out here. And then verse 20, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord, having confidence in your obedience. So he's already saying, I know you're going to follow this request. So having confidence in obedience, I know I write to you knowing that you will even do more than I say. And that's a good way to follow up on asking somebody a favor, to say, I know you're going to take care of it and go beyond. So, you know, let's help each other. Paul is very kind, but he is stern. And I think that sometimes we need to be stern in our actions with others, but we all need always to be have kindness in our hearts. And it's interesting when Paul says, if Onesimus has wronged you or owes you anything, put it on my account, I will pay. I had a banker assure a mechanic that I was good for the money, and because of that, he allowed me to write a check to fix that car and get back to Texas. Paul reminds Philemon, not to mention that you owe me, and Philemon owes Paul a debt of gratitude for his salvation. Philemon was a man to whom Onesimus owed a debt to, but Philemon also owed the debt to Paul. He was not saved by Paul. I want to stress that. Paul is not saying that at all. He was saved by the grace, by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but rather he was saved through Paul, through Paul's ministry. Paul, a prisoner himself, asked for forgiveness for Onesimus. Why would Philemon even think about forgiving Onesimus, who had betrayed him? Some people feel like he probably stole before he took off running. So why would Philemon even consider that? Let's turn to the book of Colossians, if you don't mind. Since Philemon was the leader of that church and probably got this letter that we call the book of Colossians, probably got that letter from Paul and read it to the congregation there. As I read it, I have a request that you listen closely and examine your own heart. See if you identify with these traits. Are you forgiving as God wants you to forgive? And is everything you do done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with thanks, giving thanks to God? Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Anybody have any of those traits that maybe you can't put a check mark beside? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint or a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so you also, what's that next word? So you also must do. What would happen in your life if suddenly God started forgiving you based on how you forgive other people? Would it be a good thing in your life? I think it would be horrific. And I think I'm so thankful that God does forgive, even if we can't find it in our heart to forgive others. Continuing with verse 14, but above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do you understand what that's saying? Verse 13 specifically, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a quarrel or a complaint, even as Christ forgave you, so must ye do. Verse 31, Ephesians. While we're close by here, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. And just a reminder, malice is the desire to cause pain, injury, or distress to another. It includes bitterness towards anyone, but especially to your fellow believers. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, that's where he wrote and said that you must forgive as God forgives you. So that's why Philemon, I feel like, has the obligation to forgive and accept Onesimus back. And I want to remind you that these verses that I've read, these aren't suggestions from God. They are instructions. They are firm words that God wants us to live by. They were inspired by God Himself and delivered to us through the Apostle Paul. They were written, yes, to the Colossian church and Ephesian church, but again, all Scripture is given for inspiration. Given by inspiration of God for instruction, correction, righteousness, and so forth. We're told to forgive one another as God forgives us. But I think there's one more step there that we're supposed to do, and I personally find it very hard. But basically, it says we're told in the Bible that when God forgives us, our sins are forgotten. So technically, if we're following the example given by God, we are to forgive and forget. Now, I try my hardest to be a forgiving person. But for the sake of me, I cannot always forget. There's pain there. There's hurt. And it's hard to forget, no matter how hard you try. And I need to pray more and work harder on that. And I feel like probably we all do. Because forgetting someone wronging you is something that's very hard to do. Here we've got the Apostle Paul, who is called by God Himself, and he's in prison. He's dealing with a runaway slave who is also a criminal, and he's pleading for that man to be welcomed back. But again, not just as a slave, but he wants him to be welcomed back as a family member. He used to live in your home and take care of you, but now I want you to have him in your home and host him as a brother. Paul says that he would love to keep Onesimus because he has been a real help to him. Now, I, I think, going back to the forgiving and forgetting, maybe that's why Paul preached on it so much, that we need to forgive as God forgave us. And I know that Paul is no fool. He knows that it's hard for us to get past a lot of things like that. But we have that obligation. And we don't know, we cannot find, there's no record in the Bible of whether or not Philemon did accept or accept the apology of Onesimus and welcome him back. There's nothing firm there that says it happened. The letter we've read today, I suspect, I believe, was handed by Paul to Onesimus, and he took it and hand-delivered it to Philemon. So we feel sure that that connection was made. We're not told anything about what happened when that day came. But we have another mention of Onesimus assisting Tychicus in the delivery of another letter for Paul to the church at Colossae, the book we call Colossians. And that's where Philemon lives and where Onesimus came from. So if you will turn to Colossians, and while we're turning there, remember, Philemon was a leader in the church there, and so this letter also probably went to him, delivered by Philemon and Tychicus. So that tells me that Philemon did accept and forgive, and then did send Onesimus back to work with Paul, because why else would he be delivering this letter later? And I say later, both books were written roughly 60 to 62 AD. So we don't know exactly which one was first, but it would make no sense for Onesimus to be delivering this letter to the Colossians if he was still a runaway slave. So we feel like that had to come first. Colossians 4, beginning with verse 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Tychicus, my beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant of the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose. And stop there for just a second. Wouldn't you love to have a transcript of what Tychicus told the church there at Colossae about what all was going on with Paul? We don't have that, but I think it's interesting to imagine what the conversation was. I'm sending him for this very purpose, that you may know the circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, in other words, he's from Colossae, they will make you known all things that are happening here. I talked a while ago about the order of which these letters or books of the Bible came, and we don't know that. But again, I think it makes full sense that after Paul sent Onesimus back to Philemon for forgiveness, that he did send him on to be Paul's helper. History records the letters of a man named Ignatius. Now, he's not mentioned in the Bible, but there's a lot of historical books out there besides the Bible that we can reference and have a degree of certainty. But the writings of Ignatius, said to have been a disciple of John and a crusader for Christianity, in his writings he reports that Onesimus was truly forgiven and freed by Philemon and sent back to Rome to help Paul in his ministry from prison. Furthermore, according to Ignatius, Onesimus became a pastor at the church of Ephesus. Now, there's nothing in the Bible, but these other historical writings seem to uphold that. So I think that shows the power of God in turning someone's life around and putting them in a place of not only service to the Lord, but leadership to the Lord. I wish we knew directly from the Bible, but again, we can ask those questions when we get to heaven and find out the answer then. We've got an amazing story here that I think can really be applied to our life. Onesimus has done wrong things. He broke the law, evidently was a thief, stole some things. In his culture, this crime deserved punishment of death. Paul reminds Philemon that we've all done bad things. We have all sinned, but God has saved us from that punishment, and he's accepted us into his family. God has accepted Philemon. Therefore, Paul says that Philemon must accept Onesimus. Philemon should free Onesimus. Then Onesimus can serve God and then once again live up to his name and be useful for God. We've all sinned. We've all done things that God doesn't want us to do. God wants us to turn away from sin. He wants us to serve him so that his plan for us will happen. We should forgive other people when they repent. We must encourage them to serve God with their lives. God paid a price for us. And sometimes when we forgive somebody, it means forgiving a debt, financial or otherwise, that may cost us, but it certainly won't cost us anywhere near what it cost God when he sent his son to die on the cross. God loves us, and by his grace, he's forgiven us. So because of this, we should forgive others as he commands. In closing today, I want to ask you, which of these three men most reflects you? And again, here's where we can kind of hopefully pick up on some traits that we don't have, that we need to have, or that we have that we shouldn't have. Are you like Paul the peacemaker? Do you take every advantage to live peaceably with others? Do you work to bring people together when they've had their disagreement and try to get them back together? Or do you feed on gossip about what's going on in their lives? Do you pray and thank God for others as Paul does in every remembrance? Every time you think about him, whisper a quiet prayer. Do you rejoice when you hear of service to God that others are doing? Do you unite people rather than trying to divide? That's what Paul is doing here with Philemon and Onesimus. Are you like Onesimus the fugitive? Are you running from your past sins? Have you wronged someone and not made it right? Are you trying to leave behind unfinished business that needs to be completed? Are you profitable or unprofitable in your relationship with others and especially with God? Have you apologized and sought forgiveness from others and for God, from God? Or are you like Philemon, the forgiving? Has someone wronged you and you just can't find it in your heart to forgive? Do you need a nudge from Paul the peacemaker? Read this book again, 25 verses. That'll be the nudge for you. Will you listen to your friends and others when they ask you to forgive as you've been forgiven by God himself? If you were Philemon, would you have forgiven Onesimus? How forgiving are you in your daily lives? And do you refresh the hearts of others around you day by day? I believe that we can never have too much kindness or too much love in our lives. And I think we need to share both. I think we all need a little more of Paul the peacemaker. We need to be someone who facilitates forgiveness and kindness. We need to be someone who prays for various ministries and ministers, not only here but around the world. We need to be a uniter, not a divider. Likewise, we all need a little more Onesimus in us. We need to stop running from our past. We need to turn to Jesus, our Savior. We need to be diligent in God's work and helping others, like Onesimus was so busy helping Paul and evidently later became a pastor of a church himself. We also need a bit more of Philemon, the forgiving. We need to forgive others exactly as God forgave us. We need to try our best to forget after we forgive. We need to be more diligent in our service to God, as Philemon, his wife, and his son hosted that church in their home, and the son was pastor of another church. We need to add joy to other people's lives. Quick story as I close. I know a fellow that was having a Bible study, men's Bible study, and he taught on this very book here. And as he stressed, the word Onesimus means useless, useful. I'm sorry. Onesimus means useful. That was kind of the theme of the lesson for that day. After the lesson, and he said, as he closed, he said, please don't go into the world and be Onesimus less. In other words, don't be useful less. After that, it kind of cleared out. One of the men came over to the leader of the group, was crying. And so they asked him, said, what's wrong? And he says, I feel like I've been Onesimus less, and I don't want to be. So I urge us all today to examine these men, pick out traits in their lives that we need in ours, and then apply those to our lives. That's my prayer for myself and each one of y'all. And let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this time of fellowship together. We pray that we can pick the good traits from each of these three men. We think it's just amazing the way you pull things together, both in the past and today, and show us examples through your word, through these letters from the Apostle Paul, and that we can apply these things to our daily lives. Just so thankful for this church and what it has stood for over 70 years. Thank you for our pastor, and ask your blessings on his services as he's teaching in Arlington today. And we just ask that everyone here could take the words that I have feebly tried to give and apply them, that you would help them to understand the message I was trying to get across, and that they could apply them to their own hearts. Thank you for your love for us. And again, thank you so much for salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.